They dined on charred red meat off the grill, washed down not with beer, but with a bottle of vintage Bordeaux. They lounged on the porch into the wee hours, reminiscing about their Dartmouth days and arguing over which one of them had the lower grade point average, which one of them had the prettier girlfriends, and which one scored more goals in lacrosse. In all cases, it was Jamie, but Steve didn't want to admit the truth. Jamie was admitting the truth now, the truth being that his glorious male bonding weekend was over, and he was going to have to squeeze out 1,000 words for his weekly column if he wanted to continue living in the style to which he'd grown accustomed. He lifted his mug to his lips, realized it was empty, and shoved away from the desk. His office occupied a wing off the kitchen. Both rooms shared a glorious view of the woods behind his house. He'd planned it that way. On those rare occasions he actually ate at his kitchen table, as opposed to at his desk, or on the screened porch attached to the rear of the house, or in front of the widescreen TV in his den, he liked to gaze out at the untamed forest that extended north of the sprawling ranch house he and an architect had created by tacking rooms and extensions to the ugly little cottage he'd bought 5 years ago, before he'd gone into national syndication and gotten rich. There wasn't much logic to the layout of Jamie's house, but that was fine. There wasn't much logic to the layout of Jamie's life either. And despite that lack of logic, or maybe because of it, he was having a blast. Things happened to him serendipitously, jumbled, unplanned, but usually welcome and always manageable. He rolled with the punches, and so far, the punches had sent him staggering in the right direction. He pushed himself to his feet, stretched, and glanced at the Monday morning Arlington Gazette, which lay open on the desk beside his computer. Somewhere within its pages, he might find inspiration. When he was stuck for a column idea, he often harvested plenty of fodder in the pages of the local daily newspaper. There were always weird occurrences, silly to-dos, items of greater interest than Jamie's 30th birthday. He'd already read the sports pages, but he would need more coffee in his bloodstream before he tackled the other sections of the paper. He carried his mug down the short hall to the kitchen, moving directly to the coffee maker, which stood on one of the clean white counters rimming the room. People entering the stainless steel and tile kitchen would probably get the mistaken impression that Jamie was neat and also serious about cooking. In truth, he was neither. His kitchen was always spotless because he never cooked. He filled his mug, inhaled the aromatic steam rising from the hot brew, and heard the mew of a kitten. Frowning, he glanced around the room, searching for the source of the sound. He didn't own a kitten. Pets were nice, but they required care. Jamie was still too new at being 30 to want to take on that kind of responsibility. And if he suddenly became soft-headed enough to get a pet, it would be a dog. Cats were so girlish. He heard the mewing again. Somewhere in the immediate vicinity, a small animal was whimpering. Perhaps the critter had gotten lost in the woods and had emerged into his yard. If it belonged to someone, it would be wearing a tag and Jamie would be able to get it home. Tracing the sound to the rear of the house, he surveyed the screened porch through the glass door before opening it. If there happened to be a sickly animal on the porch, he didn't want to let it indoors. It could be a bat or a rabid raccoon. Did bats and raccoons mew? Other than his deck furniture, cushioned chairs, a glass-topped table, and a lounge chair, he saw nothing. Cautiously, he pushed open the door and stepped onto the porch. The screened walls let in the scent of an early summer morning, dewy grass and flowers from the late-blooming rhododendrons bordering the house. The cries sounded louder, filtering through the screens. He padded barefoot across the porch to the door that opened onto an unscreened deck and the backyard. An animal was definitely out there, only it wasn't a cat, or a bat, or a raccoon. He heard a feeble wail, thread-thin, yet anguished. His frown deepening, he shoved open the door and stepped outside. There, on his deck, was a baby. He stared for a long, stupefied minute. A baby.